This is the All-Star Networking Show with your host, Kathy Paper.
Welcome, Katie Stearns, to the All-Star Networking Show. I'm so happy to have you here with me today on this snowy day in Minnesota. I would love for you to just introduce yourselves to our listeners and say a little hello.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm so pleased to be here, and it's great what you're doing. So thank you. We need this.
Oh, nice. Well, we all need relationships. Yes. We need connections. And you and I go way back to when our kids were little, before you had even started one of your first businesses. And now you've done so many amazing things. And I want to talk about kind of networking and where you're at. And it was great to reconnect, you know, at the latest events that we were around town. And, you know, maybe just for a second, you know, I still remember when you did the You Betcha box for people that haven't Googled you yet. Tell a little bit about to me just how that business came about. And I got that cool hat. And that was just early on when I was starting my crazy videos and, you know, kind of talking out loud to everyone. So,
And just, you were a big thank you. You're, you know, helping me promote that was a big part of the success of that company. So thank you. I am a serial entrepreneur. So I actually had some other businesses before You Betcha Box you probably didn't even know about. So when my kids were young, I started the very first Minnesota home staging, real estate staging company. There was no other staging company in the state at the time. And I grew that to, and I, you know, built that around my kids' lives. I wanted to work. I love starting new things, launching new concepts, et cetera. And thought this was something I could do on my own schedule. And I did, it did really well until the real estate market crashed and then everything just died on the vine, you know? So a few years later, well, then I kind of plugged into some work with this, you know, doing advocacy, educational advocacy work with the school district for quite a few years. And as part of that, I started thinking about different ways to help support families who couldn't, you know, the schools were removing a lot of the, you know, a lot of enrichment stuff for kids. And I was feeling like, how do we create equity with this when people can't just afford to write checks to send their kids to camps and all this stuff? So I wanted to, and I had this idea of a way that people could sell something of value, because I didn't like the fundraisers we were offered in some of these things. I thought maybe there's a better, you know, fundraiser that's more community supportive as well, and not just junk, right? So something people were excited to be part of. So that's kind of how the idea hatched for You Betcha Box.
Oh, really? So instead of gift wrapping, you didn't want to sell gift wrapping or popcorn anymore. You said, I'm going to do the You Betcha Box. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, it was specifically with the Minnesota Boy Choir. So I'm like, we're a Minnesota organization. Why don't we sell a box full of Minnesota products? And then we could cross promote the concerts in there and maybe put a CD in there. That's kind of where it started. But then as I got into it, I realized, wow, this is actually super challenging because it's food and now I have to be licensed and then, you know, on and on. So anyway, I also, after that first pilot year, realized that this is way bigger than just, you know, a fundraising. In fact, it's not a great youth fundraiser. Because A, the moms just do all the selling. And and secondly, really it's a corporate, ideal corporate or personal gift, right? And so I decided, okay, this is real. This is a great idea and I'm gonna move forward with it. So, and it really was interesting because it allowed me to really, I was within that box, I was selling local artisan food as we're in the box, and then we'd have different themes, right? So I got to know all these small local entrepreneurs that were making these wonderful artisan food products that were wonderful and exciting. And as I met them and learned about them, I started hearing their stories. And that's when I really realized this is not even about the food, it's about their story. You know, the stories of all these inspiring entrepreneurs right in our own local neighborhood, we don't even know about them, you know, and that, and then I realized, okay, that's what I'm selling, not, you know.
Yes.
So anyway, and I learned over time. And so I had to really kind of, I was unknown because I was not a food maker. But I kind of said, look, I'm just like you guys, except for that your products are my raw ingredients. I'm making something new out of your products. But I had to break into that network, which is a very small, very tight community. They know each other, et cetera. And it was very, it was quite a fun, but also somewhat challenging because, you know, as small business people, they are, they're very, you know, this is their baby and yes. they're very cautious about relationships and about engagement with, especially somebody like me. I'm not coming in with any support. Like I'm not Kowalski's coming to them. You know, I'm just this independent person. And are they going to trust their brand with me? Are they going to trust me to help them grow their business through You Betcha Box, which is how we help the small makers. They got exposure through our box. And then on the other side, I had to market network into the, you know, who are the people who might like to purchase this from us in quantity? You know, of course, all my friends were wonderful and bought it for their own personal things. But how do I break into a corporate thing when I'm not coming from that world? I had done home-based businesses, you know, forever. I left the paid workforce when my middle son was born. So I was now doing all self-employment, either consulting type things or, and I didn't have a professional network at all. I didn't come from corporate. I didn't come from a, you know,
right.
So I had to figure out how do I break into both of these communities and how do I grow these relationships, et cetera, you know? So,
well, which is why I'm going to just pause right there with your story, because you've used the word network and, sort of in a couple of contexts that like tight-knit networks or smaller networks or didn't have a network in this area, but had to grow in a different one. And, you know, again, I think you're an amazing networker. It's hard to, it may be hard to see that piece of it because you were the small business owner right in the middle of it all. And at least for me, when I network, sometimes I'm like, hey, can't we move a little faster? Like, how do we get this done? Or just even when you say something's a small, tight-knit network, I call those, sometimes they're closed networks. They don't want to let anybody in. And you're like, why is there something wrong with me? Why are you not letting yes. me into your network? And I don't know if yeah. that was your experience or not, but it's just, again, you've used the word network a couple times yeah. about building business. That I guess I want to start with when you started your first business, Katie, and said you didn't have the professional network. How did you, you know, if you think back a little bit, how did you go about building that? For somebody else that's listening, that's thinking, hey, I'm home with my kids, or I'm starting this new thing, or I'm not from this country, or I'm not from this state. Like, how did you start that journey? Because again, I think you're a fearless connector.
That's so funny. I'm not fearless. That's for sure. I've just learned how to like plow ahead anyway.
Well, honestly, know that maybe that's the secret. Cause people always yeah. ask me too, Katie, when I say I'm nervous when I walk that room you and I were in the other night at the Huntington Bank Stadium, I was nervous too. I didn't know a soul. I
right.
blabbed the whole time to the girls in the elevator, you know, to get my nerves yeah. out. And people are always surprised. They're like, Paper, you do this for a living. So I think it's funny. You don't realize you come across as fearless.
Oh, that is so funny. You know, it's hard because I am a fifth generation Minnesotan. So I don't have, let me think of a time when I didn't know anybody. Just, I guess when I went to college out in San Diego, I was completely flying solo out there. But anyway, in terms of professionally, I think that, you know, we're all kind of pretty, I don't know. I mean, internationally, it's harder, but there's always connectors, right? And I think it's finding, getting to know people on a personal level. You got to start there, you know, and then, you know, it's reciprocal. Like, you know, because maybe there's things you can help with them with as well, right? And then you start to tell people what you're working on or what you're hoping for. And often it's kind of during an exploratory phase. I mean, I think you want to enter into these types of things in a very open-minded exploratory mindset where you're not even 100% sure yet what direction your idea is going to take. And you shouldn't be, by the way. I mean, I just think if you're too locked in, you're going to you're going to have blinders on and you will miss opportunities. And you will sometimes, I've seen people go headlong into something that they should have pivoted from early and been very, you've got to retain, be open-minded and listen. And listen actively, you know, like ask people more. And it may not sink in for a while. Like that's happens to me all the time where I'll talk to somebody and a little seed will be planted. I won't even realize that that's happened. And then the next day I'll wake up with like 10 new ideas that just come to me overnight. And it starts to take shape, you know, and it starts to get, and then as it takes shape, you know, and I look at it too, kind of like a tree, you know, where you take, you know, you have the first few people and then they lead you to other people and you get to know them and you talk to them. And a lot of it is throwing darts to, you know, you don't, and you're hoping to hit something, you know, you just, it's not necessarily a linear process at all. I find it to be very more organic. And sometimes I found over the years that I've done all these different entrepreneurial things that I'll meet somebody way down the road that I'm like, God, I wish I had met you. You know, I wish I met you 3 years ago. It's like, oh my gosh, you have the answer for this, you know?
So I want to ask a question about that. You said you get to know people on a personal level. How do you do that? Like, how do you, you know, do you have certain questions or does it that just come naturally for you?
Well, we're Minnesotans, so of course we talk about the weather for usually half the meeting.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, you got to talk about
then,
the weather.
No wonder people don't think I'm a Minnesotan because literally I'm like, they're like, are you going to cancel playing tennis today because of the snow? And I was like, are you nuts? Like, no way. I don't want, like, we got other things to do.
Oh, that's okay, so funny.
So you talk about the weather, but
And like, what are you going to do outside today? And then that leads to other things, you know, about like, oh, do you ski? Do you bike? Like we just did before this call, we talked about skiing. You know, it's like you find common interests and you, I mean, I love humor too. If there's, you know, I think that's always disarming. And it's not like you do it, you know, it's not staged. You're just naturally friendly.
Okay. That's why I asked though, Katie, because you really do have a genuine connection style. And I know sometimes when I walk into, let's say, a new hairdresser and they say, oh, that's such a cute top. I sort of want to say, one, you don't really know me. Two, I think this thing's not that great. Like, I'm always a little like, did they read it in a manual? Like, lead with a compliment or, you know, again, maybe I'm just suspicious, but I think you have a natural way of talking about the personal piece. And we do want to get to know people. And again, to your next point is when you're networking, you're seeing where it goes exploratory and then it leads to other people. How does it lead to other people? Like, maybe explain if there's a relationship where it did lead to an introduction. Like I know even, you know, Katie Harms, who has another podcast I'll plug because it's really good of you in her mirror or in your awesome. Mirror is how does your networking lead to other people? Once you made that personal connection, you've chatted a little bit, do you have a story or how do you do that?
Gosh, I've never really stepped back to think about it. But part of it, I think, is kind of like if you can engage in almost like a collaborative brainstorm, like, you know, create, because I think people love that. Most people do. They love to be engaged on a creative level. And they don't often get, especially in most people's jobs, I mean, they don't really get an opportunity to really express their creativity very much. Even creative people, like people who have creative professions, but those who do, who are being paid to be creative, they really love it.
Yes.
Engage with me creatively, please, you know, but to have them, you know, to kind of set up a collaborative creative brainstorming session with them. Like, here's what do you think? And then kind of feed off of each other with that. And then ask questions about that. What do you think? Do you think I should approach it this way? Do you have anybody, any contacts in that area that you think I should talk to next? I mean, when I was really early in my career, like right out of college, I attended, I think it was through a Woman Venture workshop I did about career life planning. They talked about how to do informational interviews and how to do, like at the end, you should ask them for a few names of people that they think I should talk to next that could, you know, maybe answer some new questions, and then ask for that contact, and ask if they would be willing to do a warm introduction, ideally. And it's interesting because some people are reticent to do that. They'll just give you a name and want you to reach out. And I don't know if that's a Minnesota cultural thing, or I have heard, and I don't know if this is true because I've only been here, that we tend to be more reserved about sharing our networks here than in other places.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I was just going to interrupt you because I have a few thoughts on that, of what you just said, of asking for the connection or asking for a warm introduction. It's the most important part of the networking and building relationships, but I don't think everybody does it because they don't want to be told no, or have it go into the, like, well, nobody responds back. And the fact that you're asking for it, I don't know if it's a Minnesota thing. I think sometimes people, they don't know enough. You know, like if you ask them for a connection, hey, will you introduce me to so-and-so in your network? They don't have enough information to feel comfortable, and they don't know how to ask, can you tell me a little bit more? And I think, again, I think you're very natural at doing that. So I don't know if it's Minnesotan. I just think sometimes Minnesotans, rather than saying, hey, I don't know enough about your business to refer you, or I find myself, I get asked a lot by people, will you introduce me to so-and-so? And my line is, I will say, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about what it is you do and why you want me to connect you to that person? Because, and then I'll say this, I don't know them that well.
Yeah.
You know, because I have a lot of people in my network that I just sort of know, but do I know them well enough to give them to somebody that I've just met? Usually I need just a little bit more.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the other thing, because I haven't been in, like, sometimes I have stepped in it because I don't know what the etiquette norms are around that. And like, for example, I didn't realize until recently that I shouldn't just reach out to a friend with an introduction. I should ask them first. Like somebody said, some people are so sensitive to that, and I'm not. So I'm like, absolutely, open book. If you got somebody you think I should meet, send them my way. And then I have the power to say, I don't have much time. You know, I can say no. You know, so that's how I, but other people aren't like that. And they want to be asked before you introduce them to someone.
Well, think about it this way. I mean, because I don't know if you stepped in it or if it's an etiquette or it's what you're doing is, you know, again, and I think this is like the advanced networking. If I'm inviting you over for dinner, right? And I'm setting my table, and I got six people around my table, and I've cooked and whatever. This is all, of course, fictional, right? Because I don't entertain a lot. But if I were, and you walked up to my door with somebody that you thought was the greatest, and came and sat down and came in and sat down at the table, I might go, whoa, 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 hold on. And I think some people are uncomfortable in that little moment. I, of course, again, my mom was an amazing entertainer. I would be like, oh, I'm so glad you brought your friend. You know, hold on one second. I would probably, you know, sweat a little underneath. But I think what you're describing is such a good thing to kind of get to know your network of how do they want to meet new people. Because most people do want to meet new people. They just don't ever want to be caught off guard. Because honestly, best lesson I had, Katie, and I'm sounding a little over-caffeinated because I'm doing all the talking, but I gave a person looking for a job to two people in my network without thinking about how this person would show up. And thankfully, the two people called me and said, hey, not only did this person show up unprepared, you know, they spent an hour with me. They never said thank you. like they were a terrible guest, right? And those two people called me up. That's how I learned my lesson, because they called me up and said, Paper, hey, I thought you would want to know this person you gave me showed up like this. And I was like, what? They did? I never thought that that person would show up like that. And so then it gave me a chance to go back to my friend that was, you know, looking for a job and say, hey, let me give you a couple tips. People will meet with you, but don't ask for an hour. Don't be late. Be prepared. And then I would say things like, I'll set the table for you, right? I'll set the table for you. And then I need you to let me know how it went. So those are my little learnings.
Yes, that makes total sense. And by the way, kudos to you for coming back to the person and giving that feedback. Because right. That's awesome that you did that. And I don't know why people, I mean, we all make mistakes, you know, right. We all need to learn. And I mean, I hope that person received that, you know, with grace and gratitude.
I didn't tell them, you know, I kind of wanted it. Cause honestly, when I first heard it, of course, my first reaction is I was mad. I'm like, how dare you, you're ruining my reputation, like blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, this is not about me. This is about my friend looking for a job. And we had a nice conversation and they sort of got it. And I realized, you're right, there is kind of an etiquette, or there's finding out. I mean, I have people that I could fling people to them all day long without any introduction, they'd be happy. I have other people that, like, I got to give them their bio, their LinkedIn profile, their locker combination, you know, the whole deal, because, and I only can give them like one, you know, versus you and me, maybe we're a little more open with our connections because we've learned how to do it.
That's really, really a good insight. But, you know, I think also, I mean, there's this whole thing I've observed around women knowing how to step up for each other and learning how to do that by being not so afraid to actually like go mark. It's one, you know, I think we're really good at cheerleading. We've been taught how to cheerlead. I talk about this a lot, like, oh, you go girl, you know, but you know, oh, you got this. You should go apply for that job in my company that I work for, by the way, instead of speaking to the hiring manager directly on behalf of your friend and saying, this person, you should talk to them. They're amazing. And I think that, you know, there's a lot underneath this, right? About for us as women.
Yeah.
And I have met some women who are incredible. I mean, who are just amazing connectors and absolutely step up for other women like you. But I have unfortunately also seen too many times the other where it's like, you know, somebody's trying to get into this place, they'd be perfect for it. The other person even acknowledges it, but they're unwilling to really step up for them. And I think what you talk about with the reputational thing and the fear that somehow if they're not perfect, it's that perfectionism maybe that we suffer from. Like if they're not perfect, it's going to reflect on me and I'm struggling so hard to appear perfect all the time. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows? I'm not a psychologist, but that's a theory. So that was something that I think, so this, what you're doing is really valuable. Because I think we need to learn this. And it's like, why do we need, we want to network for our own success in everything we do in life and our social, even if you're not working, you want to have a healthy social life and a community. But also I think as women, there's a special thing here for us to learn. And that's how we can start to achieve, you know, greater strides and equality. I mean,
but I think, you know, you said, is it because we're not from, you know, we're not Minnesotans, even though we are, is it the Minnesota culture? I think it's just people in general. And I think my two cents are, I do think women and men network a little differently, but I think deep down, we all want people to succeed, but sometimes we don't want them to be better than us. And whether we're withholding of our network or we don't have time or you're just not used to it. Again, if I took my dinner party analogy, sometimes you don't want to answer the door, right? And let people in. I would love to see more women refer business to each other, to when asked, I think a bigger thing in networking, and maybe you've experienced this, I think as women, oftentimes we don't ask for what we want from other women. We build friendships and relationships. But there's a post that I love on LinkedIn from the CEO of Rent the Runway, who said that she had more conversations with people about her family than she did when she took her company public, that she was like, why is this happening? And
yes,
I mean, it's probably why I ask you about when you get to know somebody personally. Like, I love knowing the personal part of people. I love people, right? But I also want to do business.
Yes.
And totally. And for her to validate that for me made me feel good of like, okay, so it's not just me. Sometimes I'm like, and then I get self-conscious. I don't know how to ask, or I don't know them well enough. Again, I'm over caffeinated. I'm babbling. So
no, that is so 100% true. And like right now, so I sold you BatchaBox, and now I'm starting this whole new tech startup that's audacious. I mean, it's freaking audacious. And what am I? I'm creating a whole new like AirPod like earring. So yeah. To do something like this, and you know, going up again, the vision for this is huge, right? It's a huge opportunity. It's a huge space. It's a you know, and so like it's. When I talk about like how big this is with other women, I can see that, you know, like what you're talking about, like I don't know what it is, but there's kind of like what are you doing? This is dangerous, or whatever it is, or that's too big, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just projecting. Maybe that's my own.
No, but maybe you're fearless. So let's get with this new venture let's talk a little bit about how do you set yourself up for success with this new venture that you're doing. Like, are you sitting down and thinking about who you need to meet, or let's talk through a little bit how you're, because you're not audacious, you're clear. And I have one person actually who I want to connect you with after we talk a little bit, but maybe say a little more and tell me, how are you thinking about building some relationships with this tech startup?
Okay, so the interesting thing about this versus everything I've done before, in the past, I was able to bootstrap my businesses, meaning I was able to grow them out of my own, like some were service-based, so they didn't have a big capital requirement. Some, like You Betcha Box, always needed capital, but somehow I managed to figure it out and grow it out of revenue with no financial input. So this is different. This is a, you know, very sophisticated engineered product that requires capital. And so now I'm having to understand, how do you raise money? Because I've never done that before, and brought resources in for that. And then how do I tap into those networks? I'm not in those circles at all. And, you know, is it even in Minnesota that they would even, you know, that there's angel investors and VCs that would be willing to invest in this type of a business? Because I'm learning they're quite specific. And I most likely the funding would be coming from out of state. And the other interesting or difficult thing about it is that it's a female focused product, and I'm a woman founder, and only 2% of venture capital goes to women. The other thing is very little of that would go to a female focused product. So I'm kind of, you know, got a major mountain in front of me. And how do I find that? In some ways, I'm approaching it kind of like, okay, this is, I have to find, so my first customer base I need to tap into are investors. That's who I'm selling to right now, are investors, not end users, right? That'll come after we get the money. And so trying to figure out like who would be interested in this, who cares about this, you know, and how do I tap, what are the different pockets of people, you know, where are they even? And, you know, and so I'm trying to figure that out.
Didn't you? You went to CES, because I know I follow you on Instagram, and you went to CES to try to find that. And for people listening that don't know, Consumer Electronics Show, I worked at Best Buy years ago, so I love that everybody goes to CES. So you went there to find investors or to do market research?
All of the above. So the idea is that we'll have a booth there when we have our big reveal, our big public coming out will be at CES. And so I wanted to learn the show, where would it be, see how it works, and also potentially meet investors, meet other potential partners. So like I got to meet the CEO and the lead team just by accident of Indiegogo, which is a crowdfunding platform.
Yeah.
And they were all excited about it, you know, so that's, you know, and that was really empowering. Then I met some other people there who were investors and they were interested. So we had some follow-up meetings. And then, you know, I just, and just attended events and just got a feel for the whole ecosystem for what we're doing. That was good. And it was very helpful to do all that and see it.
Okay, which is why, like, Gold Star, yeah. All Star, again, anybody listening, I know, is furiously taking notes, because what you just said of figuring out the ecosystem, Katie, that's the, like, smart networking, smart startup mindset. You know, that's what has made you successful repeatedly, because not everybody thinks like that. And you have both a short term and a longer term vision that, you know, you're going to have a booth there, and, you know, it's putting yourself in the right places with that. So again, I'm just giving a star. Again, I know whoever's listening is taking big notes, because what you said is finding investors who care, finding people who have done it. Yeah, the statistics are daunting, but again, I'll write down for you the name, but let's look at, I'm a huge Legally Blonde fan, right? Love, yeah. Reese Witherspoon, yeah. Follow her, love the movie. I could make some quotes there. What was the one, my favorite is, oh, getting into Harvard. Is that hard to get into Harvard?
I know.
Right?
Well, okay. That's what I mean by audacious. Like, you just have to, like, assume, hey, somebody's got to do it. Why not be me?
So let me connect the dots for you to your point of the venture capital, and somebody you should look at is, it's called C9, and it's a female venture group out of San Francisco that I just talked to my brother about, because he follows this woman that somehow I found out, Kim Griffith, Griffin is her name. And I said, Tom, to my brother, Tom, you know, Stanford MBA, I said, Tom, why do you follow her? She's friends with Reese Witherspoon. She's a female venture group. Like, do you know her? Because he went to business school in the Bay Area. And sure enough, he knows her, because he had went to business school with her husband, and she's a female venture funder that you got to track down on Instagram. So yes. I'm an amazing Instagram investigator, and all roads lead to, like, Reese Witherspoon or Kevin Bacon, or now the younger generation. Well, we're going to look
Reese
at her.
This is on my deck, my pitch deck, as one of the targeted influencers. I mean, if we had just one of those people, like, I've pitched to Serena Ventures. So Serena Williams, can you imagine?
Yeah.
It's over. I mean, we're in.
Yep.
If any of these people are interested, or even just give us a shout out, we are, boom, it'll blow up.
Yep.
So it's, that would be amazing.
Perfect. And then I know too, another woman, Jill Johnson, who used to be in the, she designed my wedding rings for me, and she used to be in the jewelry business, but mm-hmm. she did something with a bug spray earring. And so Jill would be a super connection with you, but I digress, and we're running out of time. We're running out of time here. So let's leave our listeners. We'll have to, one, we're going to do this again, but let's leave our listeners with kind of one tip. Again, you're a great networker. It's just, it's hard work, and sometimes it's confusing, but you're a great connector. Is what's one tip you would give people, and maybe give them the tip of, on the days when people are bugging you or they're not moving fast enough, like, what do you do? What do you say to yourself? How do you right that ship to build more relationships?
I don't know if I'm doing it the right way or not, but when I have disappointment, I just find that I have a little pity party for about a day or so. And then suck it up, buttercup, get back in there. I mean, it's kind of a, let me think about that. So
Katie, that's enough. I think that's we can punctuate it right there. Right. I have a pity party, suck it up, buttercup, and get back in there, because I can tell you too, I've built a lot of relationships that sometimes they don't go anywhere or whatever. And I go into a different room or call another person or take a look at, like, am I doing this wrong? And am I doing it right? Or why are we not gelling? Because you know when it works. I think we should end on that. And you can think You can think about it for the next time, because you know what? By the next time, I know you're going to have found your funding. You're going to have a different problem to solve and new people to find. And I'll be like, oh, girl, you got this.
Awesome. Yay. Well, yeah. This is a great pick me up. It's, yeah. I needed that. I needed this. Thank you, Kathy.
Well, you're awesome. So thank you for being a guest on the All-Star Networking Show. And
of course. Thank you.
I'm going to put the link in the show notes so people can find you on LinkedIn. Anybody listening that is dialed in to, you know, whether it's jewelry or connecting with you or startup, AirPod-like earring. I love it. I don't know. I think you're going to be the next Fitbit, and I haven't even seen your deck.
Awesome.
So.
Awesome. Thank you, Kathy. This has been a blast. Thanks again for what you're doing. It's really important.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for listening to the All-Star Networking Show with Kathy Paper. If you're interested in being a guest, please contact Kathy at www.rockpaperstar.com.